This is Nancy Casey with an update about the situation in Haiti, where grassroots activists in the country have been responding to the disaster there since the moment it began. In the wake of the earthquake, grassroots Haitian groups continue to reconnect, reporting to one another on their status and their strategy for continuing to function. The Commission of Women Victims for Victims, or COFA Vive, is a group of Haitian women survivors of political rape working to help provide medical care and support for new women victims from poor neighborhoods of Port-au-Prince. Since 2005, COFA Vive has met with more than 600 women victims of rape, some of whose attacks included having their houses burned to the ground and all of their belongings destroyed. The following report from COFA Vive was posted by Aramith Delva and Malia Vaillard. They write, "Greetings. We are able to write to you today because God has given us a chance that my family and Malia are also alive. Because of where the catastrophe hit in Haiti, the majority of victims are women of COFA Vive, and many of them died with all of their family. The rest that are left are sleeping under the stars, their houses destroyed with everything in it in the process. Actually, many women are sleeping in Champs Mars in bad conditions in the damp night air where the sun beats on them, rain falls on them, damp air hits them, and many of them lost a lot of their family. We can say many of them already did not have anything to their name. Now, hunger almost kills them. We followed the example, myself and Malia, who left for Champs Mars with 20 children with us, with other families who are sleeping under a tarp. We do not possess anything again. Our house is destroyed, and everything in it, and we lost a lot of members of our family. The office of COFA Vive is damaged, along with our materials that were inside. We have people who died in the office, like Madame Gadjian. Actually, after our survey we made, we have around 300 women of COFA Vive who are victims, along with their families. We have some areas that we have not yet entered to know what the situation is there. We know there is a need of a rapid intervention for the women to find medicine, food, clothes, shoes, and everything that is possible to have. We have those who will return to their homeland, but without the ability to pay for transportation, they cannot go. To the end, we will make you know also that even the school, Copadim, was damaged also. We have a lot of children who died." That was a report by Aramith Delva and Malia Vaillard of the Haitian group COFA Vive, COFAVIVE.org, which seeks to support victims of rape. Sasha Kramer with the organization SOIL posted this report on Tuesday, January 19th. "This afternoon, feeling helpless, we decided to take a van down to Champs Mars, the area around the palace, to look for people needing medical care to bring to Matthew 25, the guest house where we are staying, which has been transformed into a field hospital. Since we arrived in Port-au-Prince, everyone has told us that you cannot go into the area around the palace because of violence and insecurity. I was in awe as we walked into downtown, among the flattened buildings, in the shadow of the fallen palace, amongst the swarms of displaced people. There was calm and solidarity. We wound our way through the camp, asking for injured people who needed to get to the hospital. Despite everyone telling us that as soon as we did this, we would be mobbed by people, I was amazed as we approached each tent, people gently pointed us towards their neighbors, guiding us to those who were suffering the most. We picked up 5 badly injured people and drove towards an area where Ellie and Berto had passed a woman earlier. When they saw her, she was lying on the side of the road with a broken leg, screaming for help, and as they were on foot, they could not help her at the time. So we went back to try and find her. Incredibly, we did find her relatively quickly at the top of a hill of shattered houses. The sun was setting, and the community helped carry her down the hill on a refrigerator door, tough-looking guys smiling in our directions, calling out, 'Bonsoir, chérie,' and 'Courage.'" That was a posting by Sasha Kramer with the organization SOIL, www.rsoil.org. An important question in a major disaster is whether the banking system is functional enough to accept relief donations. Fonds Causés, Haiti's bank for the poor, lost its main branch in Port-au-Prince. 3 Fonds Causés staff members died in the quake and 1 is missing. Fonds Causés leadership has met with some 50 staff members over the past few days, 31 of whom lost their houses and all their belongings and are living in the street while trying to get their families to the provinces. Even so, they were able to keep outlying branches functional, take steps to ensure actual money could be moved to places as needed, and establish a temporary headquarters from which to stabilize the situation of staff members and begin rebuilding. This bank was started in 1994 by Haitians who wanted to provide a means for even the poorest Haitians to participate in the economic development of the country. Foncosé provides microcredit, especially to women, as well as training in literacy, business skills, women's health, children's rights, and environmental protection education for borrowers. Foncosé exists as a partnership with the National Bank of New Jersey, which has always charged a flat fee of only $10 to transfer any amount of money to nonprofits working in Haiti. Since the earthquake, the bank has waived even that fee. Foncosé is posting on their website, www.foncosé.org, that their highest priority is to build on the successful client rehabilitation efforts following natural disasters earlier in this decade and serve their borrowers by helping them reestablish their homes, families, and their businesses. Rural areas with few resources continue to absorb refugees from Port-au-Prince. Chris Lowe, networking from Cambridge, Massachusetts, reports on her struggle to coordinate food shipments and to stave off panic and starvation on the island of Lagunav in the bay, not far from the capital. She writes, "We do want people to return to the countryside in order to make the relief effort in Port-au-Prince easier, but the countryside is in crisis as well, especially in isolated locations like the island of Lagunav. Even before the earthquake, many of my neighbors only ate a full meal every other day. We must head this disaster off. Anyone who has contacts that can get small ships to our ports or who can make drops from the sky, please give us this information through our website, www.matenoisclc.org. We want to do this before people feel so starving and desperate they are driven to fight for food." Then, at the end of a long, disheartening day full of communications about the coming food shortage on Lagunav, I made Skype contact with the school in Matenois. A group of staff were sitting in a circle in the schoolyard meeting. Abner, Benaja, Ferronel, Robert, Roseline, Tiga, and Maga. They were planning who would go across the channel to Saint-Marc to try and find food for sale. They were smiling and explaining how so many people, family and family friends, were coming to Lagunav in droves for refuge. They were explaining how the small Wesleyan Hospital's yard in the port town of Ansagalé is filled with the sick and injured. These stories that had been making me anxious while I was reading were no longer making me feel that way while meeting with my Haitian colleagues over Skype. For the 15 minutes that I heard them discussing what they felt they could do, I felt at peace, back home, in the schoolyard, working out problems together, enjoying each other's company, even a chuckle or two. They were helping me in their calm, gracious way. There is something we don't always see for a people who live day to day. They continue to laugh and sing in the face of misery. They take the time to be present, for it is relationships that are most important in their lives. They recognize the need and strength of a life of interdependence. That was Chris Lowe from Cambridge, Massachusetts, supporting the community school in Matenois on the island of Lagunav. This has been an update on the situation in Haiti. You can learn more about the work of groups and individuals mentioned in this update and how to support them by going to www.couragewoman.org. This report was produced by KRFP, Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and Yin Radio at yinradio.org. I'm Nancy Casey.